Welcome to my ministry mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to myministrymission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Thank you for listening and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Jason McConnell. In this episode, I'm going to focus on Jesus' call to vigilance and faithfulness in anticipation of his return. Through parables, Jesus paints a vivid picture of what it means to live with purpose and readiness and faith, a life not marked by fear of the unknown, but by active preparation and steadfast hope. In today's episode, we'll explore two key passages in Matthew and Mark and see how these teachings challenge us to evaluate how we live our lives as stewards of the time, talents, and responsibilities God has entrusted to us. What does it mean to truly live in readiness? How do we guard against the complacency and distractions in our faith journey? Let's find out together as we dive into our final episode in the Olivet Discourse series. Life doesn't always go the way we plan, does it? I have a friend who likes to quote Woody Allen, "If you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plans." And it turns out that's actually a spin-off of an old Yiddish proverb, "We plan, God laughs." Anyhow, as I was saying, life doesn't usually go as planned. When I was in my late teens to early 20s, I really wanted to get married, have a bunch of kids. To date, I've never been married, and I have one daughter. I'm not suggesting that was God's plan, but I never considered what God wanted for me back then. That being said, God gifted me with a pretty amazing child, and I'm so grateful for her. That being said, when we do rest in God's plan, the rewards are pretty incredible. Now understand, we're not going to be guaranteed anything this side of heaven, but he does reward us just the same. However, the real reward is what happens when our time here ends. Jesus is preparing a room for each of his believers, and one day, the world will be restored to what it was meant to be, without evil, without pain, without death, just an eternity with God. But we do have a spiritual responsibility in this world, and today we're going to talk about stewardship and what it means to be faithful, and what it means when we're not. As we begin, I'm going to turn to Matthew 24, where Jesus presents us with a parable about stewardship, responsibility, and the profound difference between faithfulness and neglect. Let's take a moment to reflect on the opening question posed by Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 45. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time?" In this passage, Jesus presents kind of a powerful illustration of the role of steward, someone entrusted by the master to oversee responsibilities and care for others in the master's absence. A steward is not the owner, but a caretaker, accountable for faithfully managing what has been placed in their hands. This depiction of the faithful and wise servant serves as a model for what it means to live with vigilance and devotion in anticipation of Christ's return. To be called a faithful and wise servant implies more than just fulfilling duties. It speaks to the heart behind the service. Faithfulness means consistently carrying out responsibilities with integrity and diligence, even when it seems like no one's watching. Wisdom, on the other hand, reflects the servant's ability to make sound, good, God-honoring decisions, staying attentive to the master's will rather than being swayed by distractions of self-interest. This parable reminds us that our lives, our talents, and even our relationships have been entrusted to us by God. We are called to steward them well. whether that means serving our families, supporting our communities, or using our gifts for his glory. In essence, Jesus is teaching that readiness is not passive waiting, but active, responsible living that reflects our devotion to him. So what does it mean to be a faithful and wise servant? Well, a faithful servant recognizes that their life and resources are not their own, but entrusted to them by God. They live with the understanding that their actions have eternal significance. In Matthew 24, verses 46 and 47, Jesus goes on to say the following of the faithful servant. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. So Jesus is assuring us that our diligence and faithfulness won't go unnoticed or unrewarded. We serve a master who deeply cares for us and delights in blessing those who are faithful. Now, there is this misunderstanding that this promise of reward is about material or worldly accolades or gains. It's not. You may do what God asks you to do and never gain any footing in this world. This promise is about the joy of being entrusted with more responsibility in God's kingdom and the privilege of experiencing deeper intimacy with him. And while you're here on earth, you will be filled with God's joy, and that's something you can't buy with all the money or accolades in this world. Now, that being said, it could mean God will grant you more in this world if it's part of his grand design. Faithfulness, as Jesus teaches us, is not about grand gestures or extraordinary acts of devotion. Instead, it's found in the quiet, consistent obedience to what God has called us to do. It's in the day-to-day stewardship of our time, talents, relationships, and opportunities. And this principle is beautifully encapsulated in Luke 16, verse 10, where Jesus tells us, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." This verse reveals a simple but important truth. The way we handle those small and mundane tasks in life reflects our capacity to handle greater responsibilities. Now, that seems like common sense to me, but Jesus saw fit to call this out. Think about that. God isn't just looking at the big moments in our lives. He is paying attention to how we navigate the small, everyday decisions we have to make. If we fail to show faithfulness in the ordinary aspects of our life, the image of Christianity we present to others becomes hollow. Putting on a show for others, but being inconsistent in private can't possibly lead to true spiritual richness. These true riches are obviously not financial wealth, but the spiritual blessings of God, wisdom, peace, joy, and the privilege of being used in greater ways for his kingdom. Realizing this should humble us. It should remind us that what we might consider insignificant tasks are significant in God's eyes. How we treat each other, how we handle our work, how we spend our time, these are all opportunities to demonstrate faithfulness. I want you to think about that for a moment. If we're not trustworthy in the small things, why would God entrust us with greater responsibilities? Our character is revealed not in isolated moments, but in the pattern of our lives. True faithfulness means serving with diligence, humility, and joy, even when nobody's watching, and doing so consistently, because God's watching. If you're out there doing your thing and not making any progress, maybe take a moment to examine your heart and your habits, and then answer the question, are you living in a way that reflects readiness to be entrusted with more? If you're not being a faithful steward of little things, then you're not preparing yourself for the bigger things that God wants to give you, and he wants to give them to you. When we can embrace this perspective, we find that faithfulness is not a burden, but a joy. Each small act of obedience is an opportunity to glorify God and draw closer to him, preparing us for the eternal rewards. Now, if we compare this to the wicked servant who believes the master is delayed and uses this time to indulge selfish desires, the parable describes this servant as abusing his fellow servants and living in reckless self-indulgence. In Matthew 24, verses 48 and 49, But suppose that the servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. David Guzik's commentaries kind of expand on this with the following. The most dangerous lie is not there is no God, not there is no hell, but the most dangerous lie of Satan is there is no hurry. It is no small thing to say Jesus is not coming today or for several years because your system of prophecy demands it. We need to be ready for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. It's pretty profound, isn't it? This behavior represents spiritual neglect and hypocrisy. The wicked servant knows the master's expectations, but chooses to disregard them, revealing a lack of genuine devotion and respect. The consequences for disobedience are sobering. Check out Matthew 24, 50, and 51. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This phrase, gnashing of teeth, appears multiple times in the New Testament, often in the teachings of Jesus, and is consistently associated with the expression of deep anguish, regret, and despair. It is typically used to describe the emotional and spiritual torment experienced by those who face judgment and are excluded from God's kingdom. This imagery is not incidental, it's deliberate, underscoring the profound seriousness of the choices we make in this life. Many instances of gnashing of teeth occur in the context of parables, where Jesus uses vivid and often stark language to communicate eternal truths. This phrase conveys a sense of both sorrow and frustration, capturing the intense remorse of those who realize too late the consequences of their decision. In this parable of the wicked servant, Jesus employs this imagery to teach us the severity of neglecting our responsibilities and abusing the trust placed in us by God. The servant's complacency being that the master's delay provides an opportunity for self-indulgence, and subsequent abuse of his position results in a decisive and tragic outcome, separation from the master. This separation is clearly more than just a physical separation, but a relational and spiritual, symbolizing exclusion from God's presence and the joy of his kingdom. It serves as a warning against the dangers of hypocrisy and spiritual apathy. Ignore the responsibilities God's entrusted to us, or take his grace for granted, will lead to dire consequences. Think of your faithfulness and stewardship as building divine trust. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 encapsulates the heart of this teaching. Now it is required that those who have been given trust must prove faithful. Faithfulness in stewardship goes beyond our outward actions. It is a deeply rooted attitude of the heart. Understand that what we do is important, but why and how we do it is a matter even more important to God. We are serving Him with humility, grace, gratitude, and a genuine sense of purpose. Or are we going to neglect the responsibilities he has entrusted to us, assuming that we can make amends at some point in the future? God will forgive me later. It's fine, right? No, it's not. The heart of true stewardship begins with humility. It recognizes that everything we have, our time, talents, resources, and opportunities, all of it is a gift from God. As stewards, we are not owners, but caretakers, called to manage these gifts in ways that honor the true owner. Serving with humility means acknowledging our dependence on God and seeking his guidance in how we fulfill our responsibilities. Gratitude is another essential component. When we serve with thankfulness, we recognize the privilege of being a part of God's work. Instead of viewing our responsibilities as these burdens, these things we have to do, see them as opportunities to contribute to his kingdom. A grateful heart transforms even the smallest task into an act of worship, reminding us that everything we do can bring glory to God. Everything. Purpose gives our stewardship direction and focus. Are we serving with intentionality, keeping God's greater plan in mind? Or are we going through the motions, treating our responsibilities like mere obligations? Serving with purpose means aligning our actions with God's will and living in a way that reflects His priorities. On the other hand, neglecting our God-given responsibilities reflects a different kind of heart posture, one that assumes we have unlimited time to set things right. It's easy to fall into the trap of procrastination, telling ourselves that we'll be more faithful someday, or I'll read my Bible tomorrow, or it's kind of late, maybe I'll pray in the morning. But Jesus' teachings remind us that the time for faithfulness is right now. Faithfulness is in stewardship is about cultivating a heart that is eager to serve, thankful for the privilege, and mindful of God's eternal purpose. It's a daily commitment to live with integrity, honoring God in the small things as well as the big ones. So as we reflect on our lives, let's ask ourselves a couple of questions. Am I serving with humility, gratitude, and purpose? Am I fully embracing the responsibilities God has given me, or am I delaying obedience, assuming there will always be time to make things right? By examining our hearts and adjusting our attitudes, we can grow into faithful stewards who honor God not just with our actions, but with our very lives. So, are you ready for the Master's return? Let me drive the point home a little bit more. Let's move on to Mark 13, verses 34 through 37, where we encounter a vivid teaching of Jesus's further emphasizing the importance of readiness for his return. He uses a powerful and unexpected metaphor. His return will be like a thief in the night. So in these verses, Jesus says, "It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say for everyone. Watch." And I think this analogy really captures the tension between uncertainty and responsibility. We do not know when Jesus will return, but we know that he will. This uncertainty is not a call for fear, but a challenge to remain vigilant, prepared, and of course, faithful, which is the entire message coming from the Olivet Discourse. So this metaphor of a thief highlights the elements of surprise. A thief doesn't announce their arrival, and similarly, Jesus's return will be sudden and without warning. However, unlike a thief, his return will bring restoration and fulfillment for those who are ready. So I keep talking about thieves. Why do I keep talking about thieves? Well, Paul echoes this idea in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 through 6. "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, 'Peace and safety,' destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober." Vigilance, as Paul describes, is about maintaining spiritual awareness, a state of being attuned to God's presence, purpose, and activity in the world and in our lives. It's not about anxiously anticipating a specific moment, as if we're constantly watching the clock. Instead, it's about adopting a daily posture of readiness, ensuring that our hearts and actions are consistently aligned with God's will. The spiritual awareness begins with recognizing that children of the light and children of the day, that's what we are. Our identity in Christ calls us to live differently from those who are asleep in spiritual complacency. To be vigilant means to remain spiritually awake, sober-minded, and focused on God's truth, even in a world filled with distractions and competing priorities. Living vigilantly involves a consistent reorientation of our hearts towards God. It's about asking ourselves each day, am I living in the way that reflects my faith and hope in Christ? Are my actions and attitudes aligned with God's purpose? Am I alert to how God is working in my life and the lives of others around me? Paul's metaphor of a thief in the night underscores the unexpected nature of Christ's return. While others may be lulled into a false sense of peace and safety, believers are called to remain prepared, not out of fear, but out of love and devotion to God. This preparation is not passive. It requires active engagement in prayer, scripture, and the work of the kingdom. This kind of vigilance transforms how we live. It means being intentional about choices, guarding our hearts against apathy, and keeping our faith alive through daily acts of obedience and worship. It's not about perfection. It's about persistence, a steady commitment to walk in the light of God's truth. He knows we're not going to get it right every time. Ultimately, vigilance is an expression of trust in God. By staying spiritually aware and aligning ourselves with His will, we demonstrate our hope in His promises and our readiness to meet Him, whenever that day comes. Vigilance isn't a burden, it's a privilege that allows us to live with purpose, joy, and the assurance of what we are walking in the light of, which is His grace. As Jesus concludes His teaching on the need for watchfulness, His call to keep watch and stay awake is a final urgent reminder to remain spiritually ready for His return. Going back to Mark 13, verses 35 and 37, He says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether it is in evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." I felt it was worth reading a second time. I can't stress enough that this exhortation is not about fear or uncertainty, but a call to live with faith, obedience, and hope. Faith, obedience, and hope. I feel like I say that all the time, but that's really the core of it. Readiness is an active and intentional lifestyle rooted in the relationship with Christ. One of the key ways we stay ready is through prayer. Prayer keeps us connected to God, aligning our hearts with His will and helping us remain spiritually alert. When we pray, we invite God's presence into our lives. We gain clarity on His purpose and receive the strength to navigate challenges. Jesus also emphasizes the role of Scripture in readiness. By studying His Word, we gain wisdom and discernment to live according to His truth. Luke 12, 35 through 40 gives us a vivid image of preparedness. "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes." Man, that picture of servants keeping watch with their lamps burning reflects a life actively engaged in service and obedience. For believers, this means not only understanding God's word, but putting it into action by loving and serving others. And of course, another vital aspect of readiness is living out the faith through those acts of service. As followers of Christ, we are called to reflect His love in tangible ways. This includes meeting the needs of those around us, showing kindness and compassion, and encouraging others in their faith journey. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 reminds us, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Serving others not only strengthens our community of faith, but it also helps us grow in humility and selflessness, aligning our lives with the example of Jesus. Readiness is ultimately about that alignment, about every aspect of our lives being aligned to God's purpose and aligned to Jesus' example. It requires examining our priorities, letting go of those distractions, and focusing on what truly matters, our relationship with God and our calling to live out His mission. Jesus' calls to stay awake is reminders that readiness is not about perfection. Again, it's not about perfection. It's about perseverance. It's about making a daily decision to walk in obedience and trust, no matter what challenges or uncertainties we face. By grounding ourselves in faith, prayer, scripture, and service, we remain steadfast and prepared, reflecting the hope we have in Christ's return. As we reflect on Jesus' words, let's ask ourselves, are our lamps burning brightly? Are we ready to open that door when the Master knocks? May His call inspire us to live with purpose and joy. knowing that our faithfulness today prepares us for the eternal rewards of tomorrow. As we wrap up this exploration of Jesus' call to be watchful and ready, as well as this Olivet Discourse series, I am reminded of the weight and beauty of his words. Through the parables and teachings we've examined, Christ emphasizes three critical aspects of our walk with him: vigilance in our spiritual lives and hope in his promised return. Take time to reflect on your spiritual journey. Are you faithfully carrying out the responsibilities God has entrusted to you? Are you staying vigilant, guarding your heart against distractions and complacency? Are you living with hope, trusting that his return will bring the ultimate fulfillment of his promises? My hope is that we can all echo the prayer of the early church of "Come, Lord Jesus." And until that day, I pray we live as faithful servants, vigilant and full of hope, bringing glory to God in all we do. I really hope you've enjoyed this series. And next week, just a reminder, next week starts a new series with my friend Laura called The Parable Projects, where we are going to dive into the many parables of Jesus. So be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss that, and leave a comment or review and let me know how I'm doing. Until next time, keep loving your neighbors, dive into God's Word daily, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with his peace. Take care and God bless, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.